Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
It's me.
What you doing?
Just hanging out with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, happy anniversary. I forgot to tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to text you yesterday because it was our normal recording day. And I was going to text you and be like, I'm on my way over.
Oh, yeah.
Just to like make you poop your pants a little bit.
Yeah, probably would have been like, no, wait.
Yeah. You would have been like, wait, what? I told you like, I'm on a date. But then I was like, nah, I don't want her to like soil her garments while she's out in public on a date. No.
Yeah, my husband wanted to hang out with me.
It's so cute. Yeah.
18 years.
18 years.
Pretty proud of it.
Wow. You know? I mean, I remember the day. I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah, you were there singing at my wedding.
I was singing the wind beneath my wings. She chose to ask me to sing at her wedding, guys.
I did.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. You were beautiful.
I was radiant in a tan.
You were.
Shine with white hair.
Yeah.
So, if you can imagine.
Bleach blonde.
Yeah. Did you have fun at the game?
It was a lot of fun. Yes. We went to the Ranger game, mm-hmm. And they didn't score any points or wow. any, I should say any runs.
You could have said points and yeah. I would have believed you because I know nothing.
The other team, I think we left in the seventh inning. They had 3 runs. And then by the time we got home, the other team had 7 runs and we had 0. So I was like, wait.
So you were like.
Yeah, but it's a great atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The Texas Rangers Stadium. Well, what is it called? Globe Life.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's fun. It's exciting. They've got, you know, it's very showy.
Yeah, but I like a baseball game. It's just so long.
It is. Yeah.
It's just so long. Did you eat a like chili cheese fries out of a helmet?
I did get French fries and they're seasoned very well. Mm. So yummy. So I just had those with ketchup, no chili or cheese.
But were they in a helmet?
They were not in a helmet. They were in a cup, a paper cup that I threw away.
Man. Yeah. What a bummer.
Yeah. So
COVID's ruined everything.
No, I think you get ice cream in a cup.
Okay. In a helmet?
I mean, yes.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I knew what you meant.
Ice cream in a helmet.
Well, I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah. What did you do instead of recording with me since I was not available?
I don't know.
You can't remember yesterday.
No, I can't remember
yesterday.
You were
taking care of your girls.
Today was a blur.
Yeah.
My girls are in casts, so I have this insane amount of guilt, like I'm not doing enough.
Oh,
which
girl.
Is something we all, I think, as caregivers, we are always feeling like we're not doing enough for the people that we're taking care of.
Well, you know what? I see you.
Thank you.
You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. But I said, you know, my dad bought me a membership to the Botanic Gardens.
Did he?
And I said, yeah, he did for Christmas.
That's so sweet. A great gift.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a great gift. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Let's just go walk around.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's just go walk around. What's the harm in that?
Right. And?
Well, I lived through it, but it was a misery.
Was it?
An absolute misery.
Was it hot?
The girls... Hazel had lots of fun. She was running around. They had like dinosaurs placed throughout the gardens and
She loves
they thought that was fun. Mm-hmm. But Poppy she's just the most uncomfortable. She was done, like, pretty soon into it. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Having to carry her and then push the wagon.
Yeah.
Make sure Hazel wasn't in anybody's way.
Oh.
It was fun.
Was there a lot of people there?
Not really.
Yeah.
But, you know, mm-hmm. four-year-olds just don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a wild time. And we went into the cafe because I thought it's going to be easier if we just eat while we're here. And then we
get in the car and go.
Get in the car and go home. And then I can put them down for naps. And the lady, bless her, Poppy's demanding to be held. Oh, so I had to pull her out of the wagon. I'm trying to get my credit card, order lunch. And she's like, sweetie, I gave you a discount. And I was like,
bless.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can you come home with me? But and then we saw a snake and we were out.
Oh, okay.
I was like, bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
It's the type of weather for that. So while you were walking around the flowers, it just come out or what?
We were looking at the turtles in the water and he was slithering up the side of the.
No, ma'am.
Oh, I feel like he's on me. Oh. I was like, Hazel, run. And she was like, ah. I was like, let's get out of here. Oh, man. Well,
I'm glad you lived.
It was a no from me, dog, and I was out of there. I was like, nope, the day's over. It's over. It's over. Bye.
Well, I'm proud of you for trying and doing.
The thing is, I tried.
Yeah.
I tried. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I can say is, like, I tried. And I know Daisy and Hazel had fun.
Yeah.
And then when Poppy got up from her nap, she was like, remember the dinosaurs this morning? So even though she was, like, miserable half the time.
Yeah.
She has a fond memory of it.
Yeah.
You know, these are the good old days.
That's right.
For my kids.
Yeah.
They're not my good old days.
The things parents do.
That's the thing is pretty much every day I'm like, gosh, my mother sacrificed like her happiness my whole life, probably. Yeah,
you have a newfound respect for.
I have so many wonderful childhood memories.
Right.
And behind every childhood memory is probably a miserable, sweaty mother. You know what I mean?
Maybe not every memory.
Maybe not every memory. I'm sure my mother's different than me. She's not riddled with anxiety like I am. But good Lord. Yeah. I just want them to have fun.
Yeah.
And have great memories.
And they will. They will.
So, yeah.
If you're doing the dang thing.
I'm like doing the dang thing, right? Well, let's do a dang story.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
From one misery to another.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. I love spending time with my kids. They're delicious.
Of course.
I lick their skin. Like, I just want to eat them. Sorry.
I mean, you used to lick Hazel's bald head.
So. Yeah, exactly. When I would drop food on it, I would just go, oh, crumbs. So.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to Orange County, California.
Okay. Take us out west.
Yeah. It's the late 90s. The sunshine and the palms provide a picturesque backdrop for the gargantuan homes that most people could only dream of living in.
Mm-hmm.
But for Ken and Carolyn Stahl, who lived in an affluent neighborhood in South Orange County, that was their reality. Carolyn was an optometrist and Ken was an anesthesiologist.
Mm-hmm.
So their salaries provided them with a life of luxury. One of Ken's workout buddies, Richard, said just what a good friend he remembered Ken being. Richard, who was not from the hoity-toity area, admitted that all his other friends were from the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh.
And Ken was just different. Like, Ken didn't care that he was not a doctor or not affluent.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn was a sophisticated lady, a model wife, by all accounts. She was always done up with her makeup and her hair in perfect order. and clothed in the latest fashion, right out of the boutique display window. She was originally from Michigan, but settled in Huntington Beach with Ken, who was her second husband. Hmm. But there were cracks.
Oh, no.
Thousands of them.
Oh, no.
Embedded in that superficial facade they had displayed to their community.
Money is not all it's cracked up to be.
Mm. And it was about to shatter into dust.
Uh-huh.
November 20th, 1999, Tony Castillo was a ranch deputy with Ranch Mission Viejo. He was patrolling Ortega Highway around a little after 10 p.m. When he spotted a car that was pulled off the side of the road, like by the call box, like the emergency call box. So he pulled over and it was just a little strange because the car was just sitting there. No one was using the call box or like whatever. And he just wanted to make sure they were okay, you know, whatever. So as he approached the driver's side, he saw that the window was shattered.
Oh, no.
And there were two injured parties inside. The man in the driver's seat was slumped over to the right towards the passenger side.
Oh, my goodness.
The woman in the passenger seat was leaning over to her left with her legs hanging out the car.
Oh.
Though Deputy Castillo wasn't sure of their condition, I mean, he assumed they were dead. There was no signs of life. They weren't, you know, moaning or groaning. He radioed for backup. While he waited there, he was circling the car to make note of the media evidence. I love this about this guy. I read in some reports that he was a patrol officer. And then in some reports, I read that he's a security guard.
Oh.
And the security guard thing was in Time Magazine, which is a pretty reputable source. So anyways, he's like, I need to take this all in right now.
Yeah.
He didn't just get in his car and be like, I'll just wait for someone else to get here. So he's circling the car to note everything that he can see right away. He approached the passenger side where the door was open and he saw the woman's legs hanging out of the door. There was blood smeared on the side of the car near her body, like on the back.
Okay.
Back door.
Uh-huh.
Next to the passenger side. Sorry. One of her shoes had fallen off towards the back of the car. The other shoe remained on her foot.
Wow.
Jim McDonald, an investigator at the time with the Orange County Sheriff's Department, arrived on scene and took it all in, noting the two occupants of the car that were in fact deceased. They had both been shot multiple times.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. They were soon identified by their IDs on their persons as Kenneth and Carolyn Stahl. Mm. Ken was still buckled in his seat, so it was apparent that he was shot first because Carolyn got out of the car. So it looked like she had gotten out of the car to flee towards the back. She lost her shoe, and then she maybe retreated back to the car to get away from whoever was there. She wasn't exactly sitting in the seat. It was like she had dove into the, you know, like to get out of the way.
Right.
Because she wasn't like sitting on her bum with her legs hanging out. She was like she dove in. And I'll post pictures on our.
Wow.
Yeah. They didn't find any weapons on scene. So murder-suicide was ruled out pretty quickly. Mm. It didn't feel like murder-suicide anyways. Probably at first glance seems like they would have both been seated. Maybe.
Well, not just that, but why would someone shoot themselves several times to die?
Right, exactly. So was this a carjacking then? Well, the car was still there, so unlikely. If you're going to murder two people for their car, wouldn't you take the car?
Yeah.
Or is stealing at that point, like past the moral line, you're willing to go?
Oh, goodness.
I don't know. No carjacking didn't seem right either. And theft was quickly ruled out because Carolyn's purse was right there in the car.
Oh.
And Ken's wallet and watch were still on him. The Stahls' friends and family were completely shattered and shocked. Who would do this to them?
Right.
Who would do this to both of them? Was Ken the target and Carolyn was just collateral damage?
Right. She was a witness.
Right. After all, he seemed to have been shot first.
Mm-hmm.
No shell casings at the scene suggested that they were dealing with a revolver as the murder weapon, but the number of shots that were fired suggested the shooter reloaded his weapon.
Oh.
Now, when investigators started to pull back the curtain of the perfect couple they were dealing with the perfect life, they found that their marriage was really more for show than anything. When Carolyn and Ken married, there was a period of time that they were truly happy and in love. They had built a life that most people could only dream about. But at the time of their murders, they were basically tumbleweeds blowing in the bedroom, if you know what I'm saying. They'd been out of love for a very long time and were essentially living as roommates for over a decade. And listen, that happens sometimes.
It does.
In marriages. And some couples live that way for a while before they either separate or patch things up. And then some people sustain that facade.
Right.
And that was the Stahls. And they did good. Some of their closest friends didn't even know anything was amiss.
Oh, wow.
And you can hide a lot from your community.
Oh, for sure.
Your family, even your closest friends that you confide in. But you know who you can't hide things from? I know Lena's like, the Lord Jesus.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
You can't hide anything from him either. But
you're right.
The police. Not for long anyway. Now, Ken Stahl had multiple affairs.
Oh.
They were able to peel back the onion pretty quickly there. Michael Fleeman, who was a former reporter with Associated Press and People magazine, said that it's unclear how many extramarital partners that Ken had.
That's gross.
Could be three, could be five, could be more.
No.
No one really knows. And Ken's not writing these things down in a diary. Now, Ken's workout buddy Richard said he never thought that anything was wrong until a conversation came up one time. Ken said that Carolyn thought he was cheating on her and said that her suspicions had led to a lot of tension in the marriage. Well, I'll say, because he was cheating on her and that things were getting really bad. That's what he told Richard. Richard said, well, why don't y'all just get a divorce? I mean, you shouldn't spend your life miserable. And Ken said something like, yeah, we will. It's not that big of a deal. Now, Carolyn's first husband had an affair. This poor woman, she deserved so much better. Anyways, her first husband had an affair and he ended up filing for divorce from her. So her marriage to Ken, she wanted to make this one work, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry, girl.
If she had to turn a blind eye, she was willing to do that. And there was a lot at stake. You know, there's a lot at stake. Well, her coping style is the same as mine, which is treat yourself.
Yeah, go shopping.
She'd go shopping.
Retail therapy.
She'd go to lunch. According to the Real Murders of Orange County documentary, when police executed the search warrant of the Stahls' home, they found over $30,000 worth of clothes in her closet that still had the tags on them.
Well,
that would make any woman today blush. But we're talking about the 90s.
$30,000
in the
90s. I wish I could have just walked into that closet.
Right? And listen, Ken didn't really want to get a divorce either because of what it would cost him.
Oh, I'm sure.
Financially, yeah. But more so everything else. You know, the separation of everything. Friends choosing sides and the breakdown of a social network and lifestyles and all of that. As police were diving even deeper into the nitty-gritty of the Stahls' relationship, what they've uncovered so far is a failing marriage, affairs, excess spending. All right. But how does that end in both of them being murdered?
That's a great question.
Something was missing here. Just didn't make sense until they had a conversation with Ken's friend Richard again.
That he left knows them. A lot.
Yeah, they used to work out and hang out together. He was pretty much Ken's only real friend.
Okay.
So they were shocked and even more confused than they ever had been after that conversation. Now, Richard told investigators about a conversation he had with Ken late one night. See, Richard wasn't just his workout buddy. He also did odd jobs for Ken around the house. And basically, Ken would be like, hey, you know, my such and such needs fixing. He was lonely.
Yeah.
He was lonely. I mean, he could have asked any number of tradesmen to do that job, but he always called Richard over. So when Ken called him a little after midnight to ask him to come over and fix his smoke detector.
Oh, goodness.
You know, Richard was like, now? Like, it's after midnight. But then he was like, well, I mean, I guess a smoke detector is important.
Right.
Maybe you don't want to go to sleep without it being in service. So Richard goes over to Ken's.
Just put a battery in it. I know. For crying out loud. I do it.
Right. Richard is over at Ken's, and it's like most other times they had spent together. They're just chit-chatting. Now, Ken asked Richard about some of the tattoos that he had. Like, Richard's this, you know, beefy Mexican guy with all these tattoos all over him. And Richard explains, yeah, some of these are gang related, and I used to be in a gang, but I'm not anymore. It's been many, many years since I had anything to do with that. And he'd put those days behind him, and he was really proud of, like, what he was doing with his life on the straight and narrow. And way to go, Richard, is what you would expect Ken to say.
Right.
Like, man, that's great. However, instead he said, so would you know anyone that could kill my wife?
Okay.
I'll give you $75,000.
Wow, that's how much it was worth.
I guess.
$75,000.
Richard said, huh? What?
Just because he had these gang tattoos, he was like...
Yeah, he's like,
don't you know me better than that, bro?
And Ken just went, dude, I'm kidding.
Oh, they're always just kidding.
I'm so kidding. Who would say that? I'd never say that. Like, I don't want my wife dead. Just, I was kidding.
Oh, gosh.
And with that, Ken never mentioned it again. But Richard was like, okay, weird. Police were like, okay, that is kind of a weird thing to joke about and not new in homicides.
Right.
As we know.
Especially with rich couples.
Exactly. But explain how they both end up dead, though.
Right. That's what I'm over here thinking. Like
how can this you still doesn't make explain. Sense. If it's a murder for hire gone wrong, they need to dig deeper into Ken. So his phone records revealed that his recent correspondences involved a particular phone number in the days leading up to and including the day of the murders belonging to a woman named Adriana Vasco. Adriana was from Orange County as well, but not the affluent area.
Okay.
More like a few blocks down the street, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
She didn't have $30,000 worth of brand new clothes in her closet, though she wished.
Uh-huh.
She was an employee of Ken's, and they were friends, nothing more, according to her.
Mm-hmm.
Authorities said, all right, well, if you just had a boss-employee relationship, why all the phone calls? That's a little strange. She said, oh, well, he was helping me pay to have my computer fixed. So that's what we were talking about.
Can I see this computer?
Right. Well, they pressed. Come on, Adriana. That ain't it.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, she relented that she was having an affair with the married doctor.
Ugh.
Adriana had latched onto Ken Stahl pretty quickly after they met and expected their affair to end in him divorcing his wife and marrying her.
Sure.
So she could be a kept woman.
Mm-hmm.
You see, ask anyone who knew Adriana, and they'd tell you that she'd been looking for a rich man her whole life.
I am not surprised.
She was known to be manipulative. She dated lots of men, so she could finally just nail one down to take care of her, find some chump. And she thought Kim was that guy. Just one problem. He didn't want to be that guy for her.
Oh.
Ken hadn't left his wife for any other woman he was having an affair with. And he wasn't going to leave his wife for her.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to be married. Yeah. He wouldn't be married at all. Yeah. He was looking for a side piece.
Right.
Now, Ken's wife, Carolyn, was a good look. You know, he may have fallen out of love with her a long time ago, but he wasn't looking for a new Mrs. Stahl.
Yeah.
And Adriana wouldn't have been that person anyways.
Right.
But even after Ken had ended things physically with Adriana, and she began dating someone else and someone else and someone else, she was still fixated on being with the Dr. Stahl. Kind of through no fault of her own, though, because he was still buying her stuff.
Oh, right.
They were still in regular communication. There probably was, you know, sexual stuff going on. So she thought it was only a matter of time before they would get back together and maybe he would change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what all women think, isn't it? The only reason she ended things with him was because he wouldn't leave his wife. Kind of giving him an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is still paying her rent, giving her money for groceries, etc. According to the New Haven Register, their lover's tryst went on for 9 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
9 years. Detectives knew Adriana was involved with multiple men. So they started with her on-again, off-again boyfriend, Greg, the most recent guy, they thought. Now, Greg told investigators that he was uncomfortable with the arrangement that Adriana and Ken had. He thought it was really inappropriate for some older man to be coming over to her home late at night and buying her excessively expensive gifts, paying for her rent. He was like, what?
No, ma'am.
What are you doing for him? Like, this doesn't make sense. But as soon as they started to think that maybe Greg had a motive, a new name came flying out of his mouth. Someone that detectives had never heard of until now.
Hmm.
Someone named Tony Satin. Now, Tony was a maintenance worker at an apartment complex where Adriana once lived in Anaheim. And though he wasn't there at the time, investigators were able to go speak with the manager of the complex and learn a little bit about this Tony guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tony was from North Carolina. He had made his way to California for a, I don't know, change of scenery, I guess.
Hmm.
He paraded himself around as a bad guy. He told people, yeah, I've killed people and such.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know why people...
Winner, winner. Chicken dinner.
Exactly. Oh, Tony. Well, it didn't take police long to connect Adriana to Tony, because in a review of her phone records, Adriana had called a Greenville, North Carolina number several times the day she was first interviewed by investigators, like repeatedly.
Okay.
North Carolina. So like opposite. Maybe it's this Tony guy.
Yeah.
Orange County police sent a photo of this Tony guy to Pitt County Sheriff's Office, which is where Greenville is located. And they're like, yeah, we know this guy, but his name isn't Tony Satin. It's Dennis Earl Godley.
Oh, okay.
And he was a bad guy. A really bad guy. He had done time for larceny, burglaries, assaults, and it didn't. And I didn't see any reporting of Adriana having known that his name was Dennis, not Tony.
Okay.
But for the purposes of progressing the investigation, they asked Adriana to tell them about Tony.
Okay.
Her reaction was telling, but she didn't give them what they wanted. She broke down into tears and wouldn't speak any further with them, so they arrested her on some traffic violations.
Oh.
Some warrants that she had in another county.
Good on them.
I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like when they find anything to keep her in custody. Thank goodness for that.
Right.
Because she'd have walked.
Oh,
and she'd been in the wind.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Tony slash Dennis would tell them something to incriminate himself. Investigators went to West Virginia, where Tony slash Dennis now was, and spoke with him. Have you ever watched True Conviction?
Yes.
With Anna Sega Nicolazzi. I love her. She says, admit what you have to, deny what you can. Which is exactly the tactic that, like, a perp will often use in an interrogation.
Yeah.
They'll give you just enough truth. Oh, yeah, I was there. Yeah, I know this person. To make them seem
like they're being honest. Yeah.
They'll tell you some truths to make you think they're telling all of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just what Tony did. He admitted to investigators that he was in California at the time that Dr. and Dr. Stahl were murdered. He even admitted to his relationship with Adriana. He admitted to even knowing Ken and having met him before, but he denied any involvement in the murders.
Mm-hmm.
But he said something that made investigators do a little fisheye.
Yeah.
He said, well, if I did do this, can you just not put me to death?
Oh.
Not an admission of guilt, but like, tell me you killed someone without telling me you killed someone.
Right.
So investigators had an idea, though. They went back to Greg. Remember Greg? He's the most recent boyfriend that gave police Tony's name.
Yes.
I know it's hard to keep track of all the men in her life. They told Greg, listen, we found Tony. Thanks for that hot tip. We didn't have enough to arrest him. So I just want you and Adriana to be, you know, like, watch your back.
Oh.
He obviously knew why we were going to see him. And it wasn't long after that, the detectives got a call from Adriana in jail.
Oh, really?
Which is exactly what they thought would happen.
Okay.
Greg called Adriana and said, you know, maybe you're going to get out and get whacked. Maybe you're going to get shanked in prison. Uh-huh. We don't know. She knew that Tony / Dennis was a really dangerous man. She knew exactly what he was capable of. So she called investigators and decided to spill the tea.
The fish took the bait.
That's it. Ken wanted Carolyn dead.
Okay.
And actually, he'd been talking to people about it for years, turns out. He'd asked Adriana to do
Dodo.
It more than once, but she wouldn't do it. And that's when she introduced him to Dennis Godley.
Mm-hmm.
Ken met up with Tony / Dennis,
mm-hmm.
and Adriana was there. And Ken gave an envelope with $30,000 to Adriana, who then passed it over to Tony. And that was it. The plan was in motion. Ken took Carolyn out to eat for her birthday.
Oh, no.
Knowing that the plan was that she was going to be murdered. And he would get to play the grieving husband.
That's so awful.
But as we know, things did not go according to plan for him. Adriana and Dennis parked a car at a car wash.
Oh,
it's always a car wash, isn't it? Near the restaurant, knowing that they were facing the road and they'd see Ken and Carolyn drive by as they headed home from dinner. They see Ken pass by and they pull out on the road behind him and follow the couple down Ortega Highway. And shortly after, Ken pulled his car over. Ken knew what was going on. He's like, I'm going to pull my car over. She's going to get murdered. I'm going to call the police. I can't help but wonder what the conversation was in that car.
Right. Was he acting on the way home from dinner? Was he
What was the conversation at dinner?
Right.
Like, was he just like, oh, I'll have the salmon with the creux de temps and the au jus. You know what I mean? Like, was he just, did he think, let's do this after I eat? Because once she gets murdered, I'll have to be questioned. And then I'll, Lord knows how long they're going to keep me at the police station. Let's eat first.
This is making me mad just thinking about it.
What was the conversation like on the way to dinner? Like, I just can't. Okay, I'm spiraling now.
Yeah. Please just keep going.
Just get on with it. Anyway. So he pulled the car over on this desolate, dark highway and waited for the deed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So Dennis gets out of the car and approached the Stahl's car. And Adriana said she just heard gunshots, but she couldn't really see what was going on.
Huh.
When Dennis got back to the car, he said, they're dead.
Oh, they?
Yeah, that's exactly what Adriana said. She said, what do you mean they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't feel sorry for Adriana or anything because she was involved in a murder plot.
For sure.
But she cared about Ken. So I'm sure she was really upset.
Well, she was getting all kinds of stuff from him.
Well, and with Carolyn dead, she stood to really clean up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she thought she was on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe he wouldn't leave his wife for her, but maybe he wouldn't even marry her.
Wow.
But she was going to continue, you know, being a kept woman.
Yeah.
So she was really upset. Dennis told Adriana that Ken didn't follow instructions.
Oh, uh-oh.
And he got himself killed. But the truth of the matter is that had already gotten a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
More money than he'd seen in his entire life. Okay? He'd never seen $30,000 probably in his whole entire life. Mm. And he knew Ken was just a witness. He was just one more person to rat him out. So he just took them both out. He just thought, eh.
Yeah,
I don't need the rest of the money. This is enough. Days later, Adriana said that she and Dennis went down to the pier in Huntington Beach and Dennis tossed the gun into the ocean. Mm. With Adriana's confession, they finally had the ties that they needed to charge her with murder. Mm-hmm. But awaiting trial, Adriana's attorney filed a motion to suppress Adriana's interview with investigators that contained her confession because of her Miranda rights being violated.
Oh, no, not that. Not that.
Apparently, she had asked for an attorney and didn't get one. Mm. Yes, she kept talking. But words are important in a court of law. Uh-huh. I want an attorney.
Right.
Is pretty clear in the eyes of the law. And when an interrogation carries on without a segue like, now we can get you an attorney, mm-hmm. but we're going to have to stop talking to you right here. Like, you know, something to manipulate them and make them think that we can't help you. Once you get an attorney, we cannot talk to you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have a problem if you don't broach those two subjects.
Right.
I want an attorney and the confession. Prosecution was up a creek without a paddle.
That's so frustrating.
Anywho, the judge threw out her confession.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And that's all investigators had to connect her to the murders. They didn't have a smoking gun or receipts.
It was in the ocean.
Right. Or any sort of physical evidence to place her in the middle of it. Her confession was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Now, she remained in custody while the prosecution scrambled to find something else. And Adriana would have likely walked out of jail and gone straight to Chick-fil-A if it weren't for a miracle.
Okay.
Or her stupidity. Both can be true. Now, a man named Bill Rams, a reporter at the time with the Orange County Register, scored an interview with Adriana.
Okay.
Just 2 days before she was scheduled to be released.
Oh.
Now, he says, this doesn't happen. This never happens. Someone who's in prison has not been tried yet for a double homicide, they're not going to talk to a reporter.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Adriana did.
Wow.
Why? Okay. Why would someone tell all in an interview when you just basically got off the hook for charges? And anyway, perhaps money, fame, I don't know. But she detailed the night's events for Mr. Rams. Pretty much the same thing she told police.
Maybe she just needed to get it off of her chest.
Maybe she was just speaking her truth, you know?
Oh, yeah. Gotta do that.
She put herself at the scene. You know, all the stuff she told police. You know who doesn't have to read someone their Miranda rights?
A reporter.
A reporter. And that is admissible in the court, my friend, along with the testimony of a man named Scott, who was one of Adriana's former sugar daddies,
okay,
who told the court that Adriana told him about the murder plot and the murders of Dr. and Mrs. Stahl. Now, Scott was a wealthy man. You know, in this documentary, they kind of did a close-up on his Louis Vuitton loafers that were sitting next to his chair. Scott was a wealthy man who dated Adriana casually, and he'd reported what she told him to police the very next day that she said it. So that adds a level of credibility.
Yeah.
Adriana's trial got going, and her defense really was that she was sorry.
Well,
tried to gain sympathy from the jury. I mean, she, in her own words, confessed multiple times to not just being present at the murders, but arranging the hit on Carolyn Stahl. So they weren't going to try to prove otherwise.
Yeah.
You couldn't. She testified in her own defense. She cried and cried. And her attorney attempted to bring up Adriana's troubled past in Mexico as being a catalyst for her behavior.
That's always the reason someone has to murder.
She was just trying to make a good life for herself, Elena.
Yeah.
She said that, yeah, she might have decided the location of the murders and physically transferred the envelope of cash from Ken to Dennis, but she didn't believe the plan was actually going to happen.
This gets dumber and dumber. Like, I feel dumber for
listening. I know, right? Now, Deputy District Attorney Dennis Conway said, and I quote, "If you hadn't introduced Godley to Ken and his wife, they would still be alive, right?" And Adriana responded, "Yes." And with that, it was over.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that. The jury didn't believe that her past was an excuse for killing two people. And she was convicted on all charges and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah.
Here's something else.
Okay.
According to Michael Fleeman, the same reporter for the Associated Press and People magazine, many people came to the sentencing to show their love and respect and support for Carolyn Stahl. And they read their statements expressing just what a light she was in their lives. This perpetually positive woman who truly cared,
yeah,
and would do anything for a friend. One of her friends said that she would send her Thanksgiving cards,
aww,
and birthday cards and like Halloween cards. She's like, she's thinking of me on Halloween. Like, yeah, this is just, aww, the type of person this woman is. No one showed up for Ken Stahl.
Really?
Not one person.
Really?
I was surprised too. Not one person. I guess people truly knew who he was, because there was a part of me when I was, you know, days into researching this case that I thought, what if she's just some scorned lover saying,
yeah,
that he was putting a hit out on his wife, like, right, trying to drag his name through the mud.
Maybe.
But I saw nowhere in any reporting that that was even a question. So, I mean, we learned about Ken's conversation with Richard. And even Richard said, was he just my friend that whole time because he thought I was a bad guy?
Like, yeah, just keeping, like, him around to...
Yeah, like, he saw all my tattoos, like, gang-related tattoos. And was he just, like, working up friendship?
That's what it seems like.
Yeah. So in hindsight, everybody kind of looked back and goes, man... So,
yeah. Oh,
another interesting aside about Ken, in an article written by Terry McCarthy for Time Magazine, Ken was in poor health and was probably going to die soon, okay, not long after Carolyn's murder.
Then what's the point?
So he had gotten the chance.
He didn't want her to have all of his stuff when he died?
Yeah. So he had, I read somewhere it was a triple bypass, a quadruple bypass. Anyway, he had major heart surgery 20 years before his death. But even though he maintained a healthy lifestyle, like he worked out, he ate well, his heart was congested and failing. So he'd rather have gone out a widower with sympathy from the community than the alternative, which is just
yourself.
Like, ooh, dying peacefully, warm in your bed, and let her inherit everything.
That's gross.
Because she was a good woman.
Yeah.
Now, as for Dennis Godley, the trigger man, he took a deal. They said, confess and you'll get life, not death. Remember, he did not want to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. They had that leverage. So he took the deal. But in the end, he did get death.
Really?
Cancer.
Oh, okay.
He died in prison of cancer.
Well, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Sounds like...
poetic justice?
I mean, goodness. Mm-hmm. I have no words.
That's Isn't crazy. That wild? Like, you put a hit out on your wife and Ken probably didn't even know what was going on because he was shot in the head so quickly.
Yeah.
That he probably just, like, one of the detectives said he probably just turned and saw a flash and didn't even realize, and he was dead.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, so he probably had no idea that things were going off the rails because he was killed first.
Yeah.
Meaning that Dennis knew exactly what he was going to do when he approached that car.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to take them both
out.
He's
like, I'm just, this is my opportunity just to kill some people.
And I part of me was like, why didn't he go back to the car and kill Adriana?
Right.
That would have just...
If he killed Ken just to get him off as a witness,
yeah.
If he thought he was just going to be a witness, you know,
but why maybe, wouldn't he? You know, maybe he cared for Adriana. Maybe he had a soft spot for her. I don't know.
Whatever.
It's just sad. What a waste. What and a then, waste.
I mean, goodness.
Yeah.
To have such an evil life and then you, like, the cancer inside of you just mm-hmm. ate you up.
Yeah. So that's all I got for you for that one. I mean, it's tough.
That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, isn't it? So, yeah.
Well, goodness. I'm glad that's over.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Same. That was great. Let's do it again next week.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye now. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.